Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Panelists this week from her cat cave in Pacifica, technical editor Kira Pace. And from behind his stacks of unopened CDs in his vast palace in San Francisco, San Francisco Chronicle's music critic Joshua Cosman. And your host from his wood-paneled library in his villa in Alameda, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely captive Sunday, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time, though I can't really think of a good reason why you wouldn't be able to spare us an hour of your time. Anyway, I hope you will settle back and enjoy the show for the next hour or so, and maybe give us a call as well. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, and basically whatever else is, happens to be in the general neighborhood. So just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So it's always great to hear from our listeners. And I appreciate all the emails people have been sending about how much they appreciate the show still being on. Great thanks there to David and Phil Hartman for, you know, sort of shepherding this along. But anyway, we're glad to do it, and we're glad that you appreciate us doing it. So it's a mutual thing. And anyway, so we will start. We will not start with a round of introductions because we're on Zoom, and maybe in a few weeks we'll get back to that. So basically, we're going to start with a round of questions, and I will call on Kira Pace first.
I think everyone's introduction would just be X is sheltering in place.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys have heard of the television show Family Ties, right? Family Ties.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Remind us which one that is.
It doesn't matter. The it was on NBC in the 80s. It had Alex P. Keaton.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But more importantly, in places like Italy, where it did, in places like Italy, where the expression "family ties" didn't mean anything, they would rename it. So, like in Italy, it's known as Casa Keaton. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of a country and the name, the English translation of the name of a television show, an American television show. I just want you to tell me what the American television show is. So these are direct translations of what other countries are calling television shows from the U.S.
Now, may I ask if these are current shows or shows that are no longer on or that sort of thing?
Yeah, actually, only one of these is still on. But okay.
And how far back are we going?
Just to the 70s.
Dana wants to know if Arthur Godfrey is features in any of these.
No.
No. All right.
Okay.
Milton Berle, not Arthur Godfrey.
Sorry.
So I have seven of them for you. The first one from Slovenia, we have Mystery Island. From France, we have Arabesque. In Belgium, Doctor or Not Doctor. Serbia has People in Manhattan. In Hungary, we have Who Are You, Doc? France, again, $200 plus expenses. And finally, China, Stormy Little Town. So I'll go through them one more time. Slovenia.
Before you do, can I just ask you, do you feel, because I was carefully writing everything down, and then I suddenly thought, I don't think the countries themselves are are being very cluey. They're mostly there for flavor, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a little fair. So Slovenia's Mystery Island, I'll tell you, that's an ABC show. France's Arabesque, that was on CBS. Belgium's Doctor or Not Doctor, that was an NBC show and an ABC show for later seasons. There's a clue. Serbia has People in Manhattan, that is an AMC show. Hungary's Who Are You Doc is BBC. France, $200 plus expenses, that's NBC. And China's Stormy Little Town, CBS. So again, these are the English language translations of foreign language titles for mostly American TV shows, obviously one British TV show. So do you know any of those shows? I'll give you one each.
Josh, you want to go ahead?
Well, I've got one, but I wasn't sure about it until you gave us the
stations.
Network. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if Who Are You Doc is on BBC, why, that's Doctor Who.
That is. That's our British show.
Yeah.
Who Are You Doc is what Hungary calls Doctor Who.
So is Mystery Island Fantasy Island?
It's not. That's a great guess, but it is another mystery island from the 21st century.
How about
21st
Lost,
century
then?
TV? Yes.
Lost.
It is there Lost. Yep. Mm. Mystery Island in Slovenia is what they call Lost.
Now, I was thinking the People in Manhattan, of course, that could be a lot of things. I was thinking Sex in the City first, but then you said it was on AMC.
I was thinking Friends, and then you said it was AMC.
Yeah, so that sort of threw me off.
What's AMC besides The Walking Dead?
People in Manhattan, that's what it is.
Yeah,
done. People in Manhattan. All right, just go over the list, and the question in the list once more for people.
Sure. So I've given the English language translation of a foreign language title for an American television show. I just want you to name the American television show. So the ones we have left are France has Arabesque, Belgium has Doctor or Not Doctor, Serbia has People in Manhattan, France again has $200 plus expenses, and China has Stormy Little Town.
Stormy Little Town. All right. And Josh, why don't you go ahead too?
All right. I've got a geography question for you. I'm going to give you a pair of letters, and I want you to tell me for each pair of letters the largest U.S. city that begins with those two letters. So if I say CH, you're going to think Chico, and then you're going to reject that in favor of Charlotte, and then you're going to realize that Chicago is actually the largest American city that whose name starts with CH. So I have six of these letter pairs.
All right.
All right. PI, like private investigator. CO. SA. S for Sam, A, R-O, M for Michael, I, the next letter in Michael, and B-E, like to exist. So P-I, C-O, S-A, R-O, M-I, and B-E. What is the largest American city whose name begins with each of those two-letter combinations?
Is P-I Pittsburgh?
It is Pittsburgh. Well done. You got
all right.
It.
I don't want to mess up S-A, so I am just going to say R-O for Rochester.
That is right.
Good.
Why
is S-A by any chance Sacramento?
It is not Sacramento.
I expect it's going to be one of the Sands, whether it's a Texas San or a California San. I wouldn't.
Take a guess.
No, you're probably right.
San Antonio.
San Antonio is correct. Well
Yay.
Done. I knew you could do it. All right. So that leaves for others C-O, M-I, and B-E.
All right. There you go. And David, do we have a call on the line? All right. Let's go. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from San Leandro.
Hi, Colette.
Who was the first pilot to fly solo around the world?
Solo. It wasn't Amelia Earhart.
No.
Was it Solo. How about Wiley Post?
Yes, it was. Ah. Good. Okay, well done, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we have another call, David. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hi.
So I have only one question for you today, but before I say that, it has been proven what I've been saying all along. This virus is extremely contagious, for even people talking can transmit it. Also lasts in the air 3 hours. I said that several weeks ago. MIT study has confirmed that. So everybody stay inside, stay well. It's pretty infectious virus. Okay. Just my question today involved about tens of millions of Americans watched this movie yesterday evening. This movie.
Is this
go ahead.
Is this the
Ten Commandments?
Okay. Yeah. We need some cheering. I mean, been frightening, really. It has been very frightening. So which movie?
The Ten Commandments.
Okay. Well, it
was on for 4 hours. You couldn't avoid it.
No, it's not. I have to ask you. All right. So which country was mentioned 600 times in both the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran? Of course, Egypt. Now, this is the question. I want you to read to me the Ten Commandments. That's all. That would be my final question.
All right. Okay. So do you want to leave it out, or do you want us to try to answer it?
Let's try you first. Anybody
else? To recite the Ten Commandments?
I don't know them in order, but there's thou shalt not kill.
No, it doesn't have to be
thou shalt not covet.
It's your neighbor's wife.
Yeah, like to envy, okay. To want.
All right. Okay, what else?
Thou shalt not steal.
Okay.
Thou shalt honor thy mother and father.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
How to honor your mother and father, actually, was number one at the beginning. Okay, what else?
Okay. Yeah, Dana just said bear false witness. Thou shalt not worship any other god.
Before me.
We're at six.
What?
Keep the Sabbath day holy.
Nice.
Okay.
It's very funny.
Well, you did very well. If anybody else have, now leave it to our audience. I want your audience to call the 10 plague of Egypt. And you know, if you look at the virus, it is a plague. So I'm sure ancient people have gone through that many times. So if any of your audience like to call and mention the 10 plagues of Egypt from 1 to number 10 will be great. Thank you. Always a good show.
Thank you, Ed. Stay safe. All right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m., rain or shine, virus or no virus. And you can feel free to call us with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight would be technical editor Kira Pace from the San Francisco Chronicle, music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right.
Hey, Dana, I don't usually like to butt into a show like this, but these are unusual times. And I'm reminded of, from Ede's question of the, as you must be, Mel Brooks' History of the World, Part 1. Do you know the scene I'm talking about? Where Mel comes down as Moses from the mountain. He comes down with three tablets. And people of Israel, I have these 15, and one tablet drops. 10 commandments for you, my people.
Yes. Anyway,
did 40 million people watch The History of the World Part 1 last night?
No.
Because, you know, had it been on, maybe they could have.
Maybe. Anyway, the only one in that is such a, I don't know. I say this every year. It's such a terrible movie. I mean, the acting is just Victorian. And the only one that seems to be having fun with it is Edward G. Robinson and maybe Vincent Price. I think they're the only ones that actually seem to be enjoying themselves. Anyway, all right, let me give you a couple of questions here. This being 2020, who was the richest person in the United States 100 years ago? Who was the richest single person in the United States 100 years ago? One guess each.
John D. Rockefeller.
No. Kira?
Um, Andrew Carnegie?
No, both good guesses, but no. So who was the single richest person in the United States 100 years ago in 1920? All right, I'm going to give you a movie question now. What I want is the last best picture to take place in these cities, okay? So I'm going to give you a list of six. Well, actually, it could be one of them. Two of them are states, so city or state. So the last best picture to take place in these cities or states. So here's the list. Number one, Baltimore, Maryland. Number two, Boston. Number three, Los Angeles. Number four, Wyoming. Number five, Illinois. And number six, Oregon. So again, what was the last winning best picture? I'm obviously looking for six different answers. The last best picture to take place in these various locations. Could be a city, it could be a state. Number one, Baltimore. Number two, Boston. Number three, Los Angeles. Number four, Wyoming. Number five, Illinois. And number six, Oregon. I'll give you each one guess.
Sure.
Sure. Oregon, is that going to be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
That is correct.
And Wyoming is going to be Unforgiven, I think.
Very good. Yes. Good job. All right. So again, what the ones we have left. What was the last Best Picture Academy Award winner to take place in these cities or states? Number one, Baltimore. Number two, Boston. Number three, Los Angeles. Number four, Illinois. Those are the ones we have left. And who was the richest person in the United States in 1920, 100 years ago? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Bigger Doolin and Carnero.
Hi.
You had a title of a, let me get this radio. You had a title of one of those TV shows that had Manhattan in the title?
Yes.
Would it be Mad Men?
It is Mad Men.
Oh, very good.
People in Manhattan.
All right. Good job.
Okay, that's the first bell I've gotten for getting something correct in a long time.
Hooray!
So I have a couple television questions. First one is, who were the two co-stars of the TV series San Francisco International Airport?
Is that the real name of a show?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think it was only on for a year or two. Yeah. Not very long. The 60s? 60s, I think. Right? Or maybe the 70s. I'm not sure. Anyway, was Lloyd Bridges one of them?
Lloyd Bridges is correct.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think who the other person was. Is the other person a female or a male?
Male.
Lloyd Bridges. And it's not somebody like, I want to say Tab Hunter, but it's not Tab Hunter. Is it some former matinee idol type?
I don't think so.
Okay. San Francisco International. No, I don't think I can go any further than the Moy Bridges.
Cool Gulliger.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
And then I had a couple questions about the TV series Gunsmoke.
All right.
So what actor played the last guest star to meet Matt Dillon in a gunfight?
No. You wouldn't be asking this question unless it was a pretty famous actor, would you?
Is it Gary Busey?
That's a good guess.
Well, is it Gary Busey?
Well, that was going to be another question I was going to ask. Gary Busey's character was Harv Daly, and he was the last man killed on the show. But this is the last person to meet Matt Dillon in a gunfight, and he's not super well known, but he is well known. Not a big star.
Was this person, did they ever have their own TV series, or were they in movies?
Yes,
or
they were, they had their own TV series where he played a detective. And then more recently, he was in the series Deadwood.
Oh. Hmm. Deadwood. Interesting. Okay. Gerald McRaney?
You got it.
All right.
Wow.
Simon and Simon. Right.
And one last one. In the 20 seasons, Matt Dillon kissed only one lady on the show. Who portrayed the lady he kissed?
You mean Amanda Blake?
No.
Oh, he never kissed Amanda Blake in 20 years. He was deep in the closet. Who would that have been? I don't know. No idea.
Michael Leonard.
No. You're right. From the Waltons, you mean. That's
it for tonight.
All right.
Good to talk to you again.
You too. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Please feel free to call in if you have a question or answer for us. We'll take as many calls as we can get. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Carrie, it is your turn.
Okay. So here's my classical music question of the week or the month. A Charles Ives piece from 1908 entitled The Unanswered Question features a string section, a solo trumpet, and a woodwind quartet who each play in independent keys and tempos. What additional note did Ives give regarding the string section?
String section.
Yes. So again, in this piece, there's a string section, a solo trumpet, and a woodwind quartet, and they each play in independent keys and tempos. Ives left an additional note for regarding the string section.
Well, this sounds like the kind of thing I should know, but you're embarrassing me in public because I don't know the answer to this. I thought you were going to say the trumpet. I don't remember whether Ives specifies it, but I feel like I've often heard this piece done. The trumpet is off in the balcony somewhere.
Quite possibly.
But
oddly, that's the note given for the string section, that it should be off stage.
Well, maybe I'm misremembering it. I haven't heard the piece in a while.
So you get a belt for that.
I feel like the last time I heard it, the orchestra was on stage and the trumpet was off stage, but maybe I'm wrong. My mind is... What's that, David?
Okay. That's right. And all right, Kira, what else do you have for us?
Based on research, I get David's classical music joke.
That's right.
The unanswered question. All right. So how about this one? Who was president of the United States the last time there were no living former U.S. presidents? And that's a question from Jeremy Horwitz, by the way. So credit where credit's due. President of the U.S. the last time there were no living former U.S. presidents.
Was this in the 20th century?
Yes.
Okay.
How could there have been no living U.S., no living ex-presidents? I'm trying to figure
out. Because the rest of them died?
No, yes, I know. But I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
So, in other words, a president could have died during this person's term. So just whatever year this was, the person just had to be president and then it would count. Correct?
Right. This person was president. There were no living former presidents. Everyone who had ever held the office before.
I understand the term of the question. I just am trying to figure out how the chronology. So I'm trying to think at some point in Lyndon Johnson's presidency,
No, Harry Kennedy, Truman, well, yeah, that's true.
Kennedy is dead. Eisenhower is dead. Truman is dead. That would, how about, yeah, that's Truman, my guess, Lyndon Johnson.
Right. It is incorrect.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, although this may not be the one that you're looking for, I'm pretty sure during Theodore Roosevelt's presidency, because Grover Cleveland died in the middle of it, there were no living presidents. No,
I can tell you that you are correct that that happened, and he was the only living president at the time, no former presidents. However, it is not the last time that happened. Okay. There's somebody more recent than TR who was alive when there were no living former presidents.
In that case, let's see. Let me think for a minute. Then it would be when Franklin Roosevelt was president.
Nope.
Oh, that's right. Hoover was still alive. I take it back. Okay. Then so, wait a minute. Taft died in 1930, and then Coolidge in 33. Okay. All right. I just keep thinking about this.
So, Dana, educate me. When did Eisenhower die such that I got the answer
68
wrong?
68 or 69, right?
Oh, I see.
There.
So, Nixon's already in office at that point. All right.
Right. But Truman was still alive.
Was he?
Was he? Well, maybe he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Really? He was. Okay. So, was it during Nixon then?
That is correct. With the death of LBJ in 1973,
72, Nixon,
there were no living former presidents.
All right. Good question.
We should have gotten that.
And Josh, why don't you go ahead too?
All right. Let's see. What have I got here? I'll give you a movie question, except I'll give you a rock and roll question first. I'll save the movie question for later. The rock and roll question is this. There is one band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame whose members have all been inducted twice, but none of them as solo artists. So everyone in this band has another entree into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that isn't their solo career. What is that band? It's the only band of which this is true.
Is it Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, or Crosby, Stills and Nash, some configuration of Crosby,
Stills?
Well,
I'm going to make you get it right.
Okay.
Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Just Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
That is correct. Because Neil Young is certainly in there on his own.
His own, right.
Good. Can you name the other bands?
Oh.
The Beatles.
No. The other bands for each of these guys.
Oh, all right.
No, I never remember. Was one of them in, was in the Hollies, was it?
That is correct.
Okay, one of them was in, it Cream?
No.
I always mix them up with Eric Clapton. He was in Cream.
He was in Cream.
Right.
Graham Nash was in the Hollies. Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I've pulled my weight in this question.
No, I'm waiting for Dana. I'm waiting for Dana to pull his weight around here.
Well,
and this Crosby, Stills, and Nash question.
Yeah, all right. David
Leave
Crosby.
It out for people.
Oh, sure. Okay.
All right.
Sure.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Roland from Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Thank you guys for being on and being a beacon of hope. I have a couple of answers. So $200 a day plus expenses, that was Jim Rockford's fee. So that would be Rockford Files.
That is correct.
Good job.
Yeah, I remember that when I was a kid watching it, that seemed like a huge amount of money. And can you remind me of the other titles in that category?
Sure. In France, there's the show Arabesque. In Belgium, there is Doctor or Not Doctor. And China has Stormy Little Town.
Stormy Little Town, would that be Twin Peaks?
It's not. That's a great guess. But it is sadly not correct.
All right, I have a few guesses for Dana's question about cities or locations. So is Boston Goodwill Hunting?
No, it is after that.
Okay. So Illinois, is that Chicago?
Well, I better give that to you. I was actually thinking about another film that's a little bit earlier, but I guess you're more right than I am, so I'll give that to you.
I'll take it. And then Baltimore, is that Diner?
No, that was not Best Picture.
Okay, is it one of the Barry Levinson Baltimore trilogy?
Nope.
I can't remember if any of them won.
None of those got the Best Picture.
Okay. And here, this one may be controversial, but L.A. is definitely L.A. Story, but only for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
La La Land.
I mean, La La Land, that's what I meant to say. Not L.A. Story, La La Land. That's Minaj.
Yeah.
All right, I have a quick question for you guys. I like your first lines of novels. So here are a couple of very famous novels and their first lines.
All right.
Physicist Leonardo Vetra smelled burning flesh, and he knew it was his own.
I missed the first word.
Give that once more, please.
Physicist Leonardo Vetra smelled burning flesh, and he knew it was his own.
This is a novel.
Yeah.
Very, how very popular old is this novel, roughly?
It's about 10 years old, 15 maybe.
Okay.
Very, very wide best-selling novel, also turned into a movie.
The Bridges of Madison County.
That was my next. You just blew my next first line.
Oh no! Did I rely? I'm so sorry.
It's not the Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, I know.
But you're in the right ballpark.
Cracking wise.
You're in the right ballpark. Bridges of Madison County is a terrible first line.
I don't know.
It's a sequel. It's a sequel to another extremely popular novel, and the first line of that novel is: renowned curator Jacques Saunier staggered through the vaulted archway of the museum's grand gallery.
Are we in Dan Brown territory?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan Brown. Here. Yes, so, Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons.
Got it.
Good job.
All right, well done. All right, thank you very much. Carry on.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. And all right, let me do a question. All right, I'm back and forth between. I'm not sure.
Before you start, Dana, I just want to ask you, what was your Illinois movie? Chicago was more correct.
Yeah, it is more correct. Mine was Ordinary People.
I like that locution. You were more correct than I was, as an alternate way of saying you were right and I was wrong. I'm going to have to add that to the lexicon.
Thank you. I'm going to give that to Trump. They both took place in Illinois. So,
yeah.
But I had Ordinary People, which was in outside of Chicago. Anyway. Okay. So I'm going to give you a list of place names that became words. So what I want you to do is tell me the country, and if you can, in some cases, the city that these words came from. All right. So, for instance, strontium. I'm not going to give you a for instance. That's just one of them. Number one is strontium. Number two is scallion. Number three is pheasant. Number four is mocha. Number five is duffel bag. Forget the bag, just the duffel. And number six is coach. So tell me, what country did these words come from? Number one, strontium, countries. Number two, scallion. Number three, pheasant. Number four, mocha. Number five, duffel bag, just duffel. Number six, coach.
That's hard.
I'll give you each a guess if you would like.
Is mocha from somewhere in the Middle East?
Yes, it is.
Is it like Yemen or something?
Very good. It is actually from Yemen. Mocha is from Mocha, Yemen. Very good. All right. Josh, word pirate
that
you are?
The only guess I had was mocha, and my guess was wrong. So I feel gratified to have been saved the shame of my wrong guess.
All right.
But I don't have anything else Strontium, I'm going to random guess Norway, because a lot of the chemical elements seem to come from Scandinavia.
You're not. It's Europe.
Or Sweden.
It's not Sweden. No. But it's Europe. It's Europe.
Sure.
So these are place names that became words. They're not really place names. Anyway, tell me what country these words came from. Number one, strontium. Number two, scallion. Number three, pheasant. Number four, duffel, as a duffel bag. And number five, coach. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you one more question here in case people don't like that. This is 2020, so I want to give you, I have seven on this list, and I want you to tell me the most popular TV program for each of these years, each of these 10 years apart. Thanks. So in other words, I'm going to start with 2010, 2000, 1990, 1980, 1970, 1960, and 1950. So what I want is the most popular television program in each of those decades. Not decades, but those, each of those years.
In that specific year.
In that specific year. 2010, 2000, 1990, 1980, 1970, 1960, and 1950.
Is there a reason we're doing them backwards?
Not really.
Okay.
Just the way I read it. You want to take a guess?
Is 1990 The Simpsons?
It is not.
Okay. And is 2000 Friends?
It is not.
Okay. And how are we defining most popular?
It is the number one most popular show in the United States during that year. And they're all network shows, okay?
Is 1970, would that be Mary Tyler Moore?
It is not Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay.
And I should ask, are these all scripted shows? We're not counting things like game shows or news programs, or are news programs counted?
No, they are not all scripted shows.
Okay.
Hmm.
So again, what was the top TV program in these years? I'm going in 10-year increments here. What in 2010, 2000, 1990, 1980, 1970, 1960, and 1950.
And what about for 2010? Would that be something like Two and a Half Men?
It would not be.
Oh, well, thank goodness for.
And tell me where in the world these words came from, what country they came from. Number one, strontium. Number two, scallion. Number three, pheasant. Number four, duffel, as a duffel bag. Number five, coach. So, all right. And since we are a little more than halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. And Kira, you go first.
I only have one. It regards these English language translations of foreign language titles of American television shows. The ones that we have left are France. In France, there's a show called Arabesque. In the U.S., it was aired on CBS. In Belgium, there is Doctor or No Doctor. That one aired in the U.S. on NBC and on ABC in later seasons. And finally, in China, Stormy Little Town, which aired on CBS.
Okay. And Josh?
I'm looking for the largest U.S. city whose name begins with the letters C-O, the largest that begins with the letters M-I, and the largest that begins with the letters B-E. I asked a question about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, about a band that has members who are twice inducted, but none of them as solo artists. And Kira quite rightly guessed that it was Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Graham Nash is in there for them and for the Hollies. What about Crosby and Stills? What are their other tickets into the Hall of Fame?
And in addition to the questions I just read you, the ones I've left are, what was the last Best Picture Academy Award winner to take place in these cities? I guess all we have left are cities. Number one, Baltimore. Number two, Boston. Number three, Los Angeles. And who was the richest person in the United States 100 years ago in 1920?
Yes. Can I take another crack at that movie question, Dana? Your movie
Which
question?
One? Yeah, go ahead.
Is Boston The Departed? Did that win Best Picture?
Yeah.
It did win Best Picture, but that's not the last
oh, really?
Time that Boston.
Oh, I felt yeah. quite confident. I was holding off on that guess.
Oh, right. And then no. Could I also guess Miami for Josh's MI?
You can, but it's not correct.
Oh,
it's a good guess, okay. but it's not right.
So it's not Michigan as City then either.
What's that?
It's not Michigan City then either.
No. As long as we're making follow-up guesses, has it for Los Angeles, has it been since Crash?
No, Crash is correct.
Really?
Yeah, Crash is the last one.
I'll be darned. Okay.
Yeah.
And for rich dudes in 1920, how about J.P. Morgan?
No, he was dead by that time.
Okay.
So let's see. Wait a minute. I was looking at your city
question
again. You were in the
middle of recapping the...
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm fine with that. CO, I don't know. This sounds too small. Colorado Springs?
It is too small. It is not correct.
All right. Oh, is MI Milwaukee?
It is Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. There you go. Good. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. Let me turn the radio off. This is Debbie from Emeryville.
Hi,
and I wanted to know how to ask this question. Who are the baseball players, the names of the baseball players for each of the things I list, from Abbott and Costello, who's on first?
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know's on third. And then you have a couple of days on the team, today and tomorrow.
Catcher and pitcher.
Right.
Who's the shortstop?
I don't give a damn?
I don't give a darn.
Or a darn. Sometimes
there's also
damn.
Left fielder and center
Why?
Field.
No.
Yeah, that's left fielder. You got the left
fielder. Yeah. So what are we missing here? Trying to think. I should have done this in the order of the skits. Do you know what position we're missing? I'm trying to think.
Center field.
Center field. Today, tomorrow. No, can't think of it. I'm sorry.
It's because.
Because, okay.
Yeah. Good job.
All right.
You did a great job. I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I think I've been on hold too long. I know. I don't have much left. Is Stormy Little Town Mad Housewives by any chance?
That's a good guess. Stormy Little Town was on CBS in the 1990s, if that helps you out at all.
I don't know for networks or decades, so.
Oh, okay.
I think I have nothing left except a couple of plagues, which are people guessing the plagues that Ed asked about, or?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. That by all means.
Locusts and frogs, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That is good all job. I have. Thank you for putting the show on.
Oh, thanks.
Bye.
And of course, the firstborn.
Yeah.
Yes. Death of your firstborn. And let's see. Kira, I think it's your turn. Yeah.
All right. So you know who Norman Rockwell is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Not Norman Lincoln Rockwell, the other one.
Sure. and then Howard Chandler Christie. He's the guy who painted that scene of the signing of the Constitution, right? You know, that picture.
Okay.
That painting. Okay. And then James Montgomery Flagg. He's the guy who created Uncle Sam Wants You, that poster.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. Norman Rockwell, Howard Chandler Chandler Christie, and James Montgomery Flagg are all linked by what 1922 event? So these three painters, Norman Rockwell, Howard Chandler Christie, and James Montgomery Flagg, all these Americana painters, they're all linked by what 1922 event?
So were they at this event? Did they depict it in a painting or something? Or how do I approach this?
They were at the event.
Okay.
Technically speaking, they did depict them in paintings, but that's beside the point.
And this is a famous event in American history?
Well, yes and no. Like, no one, everyone's going to understand the event. You wouldn't necessarily know the 1922 version of the event.
Is it so? Could it be an infamous event as well?
I wouldn't call it infamous.
All right.
I mean, arguments could probably be made, but that would be not really.
I almost said Sacco and Vanzetti. It's 1922 events. They were all at the same event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is the event the opening of something?
It's not, no.
Okay. Just go over the whole thing once more, if you will.
Sure. Norman Rockwell, Howard Chandler Christie, and James Montgomery Flagg are all linked by what 1922 event?
Well, and they were all in attendance at the same event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right, here we go. C.O., how about Columbus, Ohio?
That is correct.
Good job.
Good.
Thank you. And while we're at it, Crosby was from the Birds.
Yes.
And Stephen Stills was in the Buffalo Springfield.
Yes, indeed. Well done.
And so was Neil Young.
That's right.
Good.
Your show's Kira. Stormy Little Town, how about Murder, She Wrote?
Ooh.
Also a great guess, but interestingly enough, you have the right answer to the wrong one.
Okay, let me ponder that a moment. Arabesque?
Yes. France, Murder, She Wrote is called Arabesque.
Oh, my God.
And I was all over the doctor or not doctor. That's Scrubs.
That is Scrubs.
Nice.
Doctor's hand.
And by the way, it's called that because in Belgium, they use the French words, and it's toubib or not toubib.
Television shows, Dana. 1980, how about Dallas?
No.
Really?
1970, how about Laughing?
Yes, Laughing.
Yeah.
Good.
1960, how about Bonanza?
No.
Or Wagon Train. Must have been some sort of Western.
It wasn't Wagon Train either.
Okay.
Or Bonanza.
Quick question. You mentioned earlier the unanswered question by Charles Ives. What other Charles Ives piece requires an independent string orchestra section, which is a lot more busy?
Well, the Fourth Symphony, right?
No.
It has a little mini orchestra within the orchestra, but it's not strings. You're right. I take it back.
This one has a recurring string ostinato that's very soft, being a sort of canvas, and it just sort of builds up instrument by instrument until it just peaks to a frenzy, sort of.
It's not ringing
New York City locale.
Central Park in the Dark?
It's Central Park in the Dark.
Oh,
there you go.
And looking at my notes, and that's it. We're done. All right. Not all.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
And that's it. We're done. Oh, hi. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How about for the 1950 television show? Is that your show of shows?
It is not.
Ooh,
no.
Should be then.
Yeah, 1960 is a Gunsmoke?
It is Gunsmoke, yes.
Yay! 1970, I think you just got right.
Right.
And 1980, is that 60 Minutes?
It is 60 Minutes.
Yay! 1990, Cheers?
No.
No? Okay. 2000, Seinfeld?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Enough of that. Did you get the richest person in 1920 yet?
No.
Is it J.P. Morgan?
Not J.P. Morgan. He was dead by that time.
Oh. Henry Ford?
Henry Ford is correct.
Yay. Okay. And then the best picture, Boston, is Spotlight.
Spotlight is correct.
Of course.
And I'd like to complain to your manager about the Los Angeles answer. Which I think I would say it's The Artist.
Well, that's Hollywood. I guess that's...
That's a good answer. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Thank you, Joshua.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Baltimore.
And I know Baltimore is not The Wire, but it should be, even though it's not a movie. Let's see. And you said, am I... Okay. Let's see. Duffel is in Belgium. It's a town in Belgium.
That is correct. Duffel, Belgium. Very good.
And I'll take a guess. It's Pheasant from France, maybe?
It is not.
No. Coach from England?
It is not.
Strontium from Germany?
It is not.
Nah, okay. Scallion is Greek.
It is not.
It is not.
Okay. No.
All right. Well, that's all I have. I'll ask. Let's see. A couple of questions, which is, I'm sure you'll probably know. Who's the only president to have acted as an executioner?
Grover Cleveland. He was the hangman. Well, he's the sheriff of Buffalo, and he did hang a couple of people as part of his job.
Okay. And then what movie the writers wrote this movie, they kind of started the screenplay thinking of it as a sequel to Chinatown.
It's not the Two Jakes.
Yeah. Not the Two Jakes.
That was specifically was a sequel to Chinatown. This was written initially, they were thinking of pitching it as a sequel to Chinatown, but then it kind of got taken over and switched around to something else.
So it's a period piece then?
It is a period piece. It came out after Chinatown but before the Two Jakes.
Well, there's a movie I like called True Confession. Is that with DeVal and Robert De Niro?
Oh yeah, no, that's a good, great movie. But no, that's
which
not
takes
it.
Place in L.A.
Not it.
Okay. All right. Can you give us one of the stars of the movie?
I think that would give it away.
Oh. All right. So it's a period piece.
At the time, I think it's considered the most expensive movie to have been produced in the 1980s.
Oh? So it's not that Michael Cimino one. Heaven's Gate, but that's because that's the wrong era. Most expensive one? Don't know. What is it?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Okay.
Which they initially, I guess, started writing it having to do with the auto industry taking over and, you know, getting rid of the red car line, the public transportation lines. That was their initial plot line.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great show. Bye.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Is this Dana?
It is Dana.
Hi, Dana, Kira, and Joshua, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got it right this time. This is Joseph from Virginia.
Hi.
Hi. I have, well, several of my things got answered that I've been trying to remember. Then they got answered anyway, so Columbus was one. I have a question that, if you know sitcoms, well, you guys know almost every category I bring up. But these are two sitcom actors, one very, very famous in the 50s and one very, very famous in the 60s. They took a second role when they kind of had semi-retired and came back to the role, to sitcoms, and they both died in mid-stream, and someone else replaced them.
So one happened in the 50s and one happened in the 60s?
One acted in the 50s, one acted in the 60s, but they both, let me think, then one died in the 60s, one died in the 70s.
While doing some new sitcom.
It was going from one sitcom to another for the first, and one sitcom to a Broadway show in the second.
Was William Frawley one of them?
Yes, Bob Frawley from I Love Lucy and
My Three Sons.
Yes, yes. I knew you were going to get that, Dana. What's the other one? A little less well known. Yeah.
Yeah. In the 60s.
He was in the 50s, and he died about into the first or second season in the 60s. Well, you've already named him. I'm just talking about the woman now. Okay, go ahead.
Did I?
You named William Frawley, so he was the guy.
Oh, you mean like B. Benaderet or something like that?
I don't think she had anything before Petticoat Junction that was really, really well known.
Okay. No, don't know it.
It is Granny Irene Ryan from Beverly Hillbillies, and she died midstream just before she probably, I don't know if she won it, but she was nominated for Tony Award for Pippin. It's Pippin's grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all are so good. Take care. Bye-bye.
Just there. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right. I guess we better clean up here. Kira, you go first.
All right. So in China, it's known as Stormy Little Town. In the U.S., it was Picket Fences. Norman Rockwell, Howard Chandler Christie, and James Montgomery Flagg were given the role of judges of the second Miss America pageant, the first one that actually had judges. They were told to paint the contestants, and then they had to decide on a winner. They had no idea how to do it. So they just basically randomly picked.
All right. And Josh?
The only thing I'm missing is the largest American city whose name begins with the letters B-E. And I think you'll both be sad if you don't get this, because it's right in
is
your
it
own.
Berkeley?
It is Berkeley, okay. California.
Really? Oh,
that's
okay.
All I got.
All right. All right. Let's see. The last best picture to take place in this city, which was Baltimore, Maryland. That's The Shape of Water.
It took place
in Baltimore. All right. Top TV program in 2010, that was American Idol. In 2000, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? In 1990, The Cosby Show. And in 1950, the Texaco Star Theater, also known as the Milton Berle Show. And let's see, strontium is from Scotland. Scallion is from Palestine. Pheasant is from Georgia, the country Georgia. And coach is from Hungary. So if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Thank you for sticking with us through these difficult times. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be technical editor Kira Pace. And, of course, from the San Francisco Chronicle critic Joshua Cosman. Thanks, of course, to David LaTulipe, who set this all up. And thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope if you're still captive next week, you will join us. And that would be Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks, everybody. We hope you have a great week. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see? It's got to be one way or the other. If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't Bing, it's Frank. It's gotta be this.